And welcome back. Generational differences are nothing new. Parents and kids usually have different tastes, different perspectives. Our next guests may have some of that, but they have a lot in common, too, especially when it comes to music. Colleen and Dean Duhart performed together in the band Duhart, once known as Daddy's Girl. She is the lead singer. He plays guitar. Family friends Steve and Mike Krensky bring their musical talents to the group, too, with guitars, harmonica, and other instruments, and they help with the vocals. Colleen and Dean originally started singing country, pop, and rock covers. They also write a lot of their own material and have added originals to their repertoire. They'll be releasing an original album later this year. Welcome to Colleen and Dean Duhart of the band Duhart.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward during the course of this segment to hearing a little of your music. But let me begin by asking, Dean, I'll start with you,
okay,
about the difficulties, if any, of bridging the generational divide between you two.
Well, it's actually, instead of bridging, I guess you would call it bridging, because we've gotten very close in Colleen's older age. And she grew up on a lot of the music I listened to, so I was playing it in the background all the time when she was growing up, and now it's come full circle. She's living the life that I was living back in my day.
Well, that's his story, Colleen. What's yours?
I mean, it's definitely brought us closer. I'd say there's some challenges, but I think the challenges are just because we're so much alike. We got in a fight walking in here. So. But, yeah, there's nobody else I would rather do it with. So.
Well, what about the practice sessions? I understand from something I've read that there is occasional bickering that goes on.
Oh, yeah. No, as far as the music end, we agree a lot because, like he said, I grew up on great music, and that's mostly what we do. And him and Mike and Steve, they're pretty agreeable whenever I bring newer music to the table. So.
Dean, was this an inevitability, this union between the two of you and moving on?
Not really. I didn't really see it coming until she showed an interest in going out performing. And she sang in high school in a few plays, and I thought she had a beautiful voice. Everybody did. And I never knew that she wanted to perform, you know, singing the songs that I sung in the past. So it was great.
But both of you have day jobs, as I understand.
That's
it.
Correct.
This is not a full-time thing for you.
Right.
Well, how do you manage that?
It's a struggle sometimes, especially when we perform in the week during a weeknight or something where I have to get off a little earlier maybe to get to the job to set up and play. But, you know, hopefully it'll work out in the end.
Colleen, is it a problem for you?
I am very, very fortunate to work for a great nonprofit, Forest Relief of Missouri, and we're very flexible with our time there. We put in a lot of hours sometimes on weekends, and that gives me a little bit more wiggle room whenever I do need to leave a little bit early or things like that.
So. How often do you perform, and what kinds of places do you perform?
We're lucky enough. We have a few gigs a week almost.
Yes.
I'd say at least five or six a month, and wineries and bars and private events.
I've been to your website, and there's a long list of things you have scheduled, and
yes,
that's nice. That's nice to see.
Very good problem to have.
Yeah, right. Anyway, we'll put that information on our website
so folks can
kind of follow you. And I'd like to listen to some of your music, and I think our audience would too. We have a couple of clips here. I've got a couple in front of me that were written by you. One is Cold Feet, and the other is I Will Understand. Cold Feet, written by Colleen. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, then we'll play some of it.
So I'm 27, and I'm at that age where all of my friends are getting married and having babies. And I guess I was just inspired to write this song just to kind of poke fun at the idea of marriage. You know, some people might be a little bit more ready than others. And the song is basically just about, you know, they're about to walk down the aisle, and the guy gets kind of chicken, and the girl pushes him and says, "We're doing this." So I'm sure we can all kind of relate.
There's a familiar story if ever I heard one. Well, let's listen to a little bit of Cold Feet.
Put socks on. Is it marriage you're afraid of, or is there someone else? I've never been the pushy type or caused you any stress. I see you fidgeting and fiddling, you're breaking into a sweat. You're looking out the door and we ain't even started yet. If you got cold.
All right, girl, you're pretty good. Who does she remind you of, if anybody?
As far as voice-wise?
Yeah.
She's got a little bit of a lot of artists that I love, like Miranda Lambert and, even Loretta Lynn, some artists.
Who is your inspiration?
Miranda Lambert, definitely, but, you know, I love the old, Stevie Nicks and... I actually relate a lot to more the males, too. love the Eagles and the Beatles, Don Henley, Jackson Brown, things like that.
You've got a wide group there to choose from. And this is something that's been with you since the very earliest stages
mm-hmm.
of your life.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got a great voice.
She does.
She's got a great. Do you do any singing, Dean?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Do we get to hear any of that? We'll wait a couple of minutes before playing I Will Understand.
Yeah, that's between the two of us, it's a duo, so you'll get to hear a little of my voice, too, not as quite as good as hers.
Well,
it's still very good.
I'm sure it's just fun. Tell me about the Krenskys. I know these are two gentlemen who play with you. Where did they come from?
Well, Mike Krensky, if you'll recall in the day, he wrote The Cheater. Which recorded Bob Cuban and the Inmen back then.
That was a big hit.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And that's his claim to fame. He's written a lot of other songs since. He plays bass for us and sings harmony. So.
And he's been the one putting together and mixing, remastering all of our originals. So we're very, very fortunate to have him on our team.
Where do you hope, Colleen, where do you hope all of this is going to take you?
I think right now we're just kind of taking it day by day because I obviously do still have to pay the bills and I do love my job. We're right now excited to try and play at new venues and we're doing a lot of songwriting and getting into that, trying to make as many connections as we can. I think, whatever's supposed to happen, it'll hopefully just kind of fall into place.
Now, Dean, you've played in Nashville, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, we went down there with Mike and Steve Krensky. Steve is Mike's brother, mm-hmm. and he plays an array of instruments with us, too. And we did a gig, I guess you would say, at the Commodore Club down there and played some originals, and it went over pretty good. So
that's pretty much where performers such as you have to be, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a given that Nashville is the place.
It was nice because we went down to Nashville a year ago to watch some live music, and I remember sitting there saying, oh, I'd love to play on the Commodore stage because a lot of singer-songwriters mm-hmm. go through there and make it big, and it was really neat that we were able to do that ourselves this year. So.
And how were you received in Nashville?
I think positively. People clapped. That's all you can really hope for.
But there's a lot of musicians.
But Nashville is the place to be, but it's also where all the competition is. I guess it's pretty hard to kind of surface and rise above the crowd.
Yes.
About the songwriting, who does what? Who writes the music? Who writes the words? Or do you both do both?
Well, actually, I write a few of the songs that I've resurrected, from the past songs, and Colleen has taken over ownership on those to sing them differently and up to date. But she writes most of her songs with Steve.
Our other Mike's brother, Steve, and he's a very talented songwriter as well. And I can bring an idea or a song to him, and he's able to tweak a couple words and bring the song to life with all of his talent.
Tell me a little bit more about that process. I mean, you make it sound very simple, but I'm sure it's not.
It's not. throughout the day, I always have my phone on me. I'm sure everybody does these days, but it's so funny. An idea will just pop in my head, and I'll pull out my phone, and in my notes on my phone, I'll just start writing a line or just an idea, and I'll either later on go to pen to paper and jot it down and try and see if there's anything there, or I'll bring it to Steve or Mike or my dad and let them know I have this cool idea. But the songs that we have actually completed, I'll bring most of the structure to Steve, and he'll kind of review it with me, and we'll figure out some of the wordiness, and we might cut it down. And he's really, really good at that, because my problem is I have too many words. I'm a talkative person, so just chopping it down. But Yeah, it's a hard process, but once it's finished, it's very rewarding.
How does it work for you, Dean?
Similar way. I have a problem with words, so I tend to write some musical licks down, and I'm going to give Colleen a few things that I've done, you know, 20, 30 years ago and see what she can come up with word-wise. So it's kind of a process.
You know, having day jobs and doing this a couple of nights a week maybe when it's a good week, that's got to be tiring.
It is, but, you know, music has a tendency to bring life to you when you're out there performing, so it's almost a way of relaxing for me. After a gig, you know, even if we get off at 12, 1 at night, I'm ready to go because it really does relax you.
And what about the album, and when is that going to be released, and does that include all of your stuff or a mixture or what?
It's a really good mix of my stuff, Dad's stuff, and Mike and Steve. So this was just kind of a more of an experiment than anything. We wanted to see if we could do it. We wanted to challenge ourselves to do this. It's good for Mike likes to kind of fiddle around in his home studio, and it was good practice for him because I know that I'll be wanting to release my own album within the next year or so. But it's a good mix of all of our
efforts.
Sound.
Yeah.
When you say release your own album, do you mean a solo album?
Or yeah.
Would the gang be involved?
Yes. I definitely would want them to still do, because I don't really play anything myself. I'm trying to learn the guitar with Dad, kind of pick around on the mandolin sometimes. But they're the talent when it comes to the music end. So I would definitely want them to be a part of that.
And where do you record? In that home studio you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. Out at Mike's home studio. Yeah.
Does that make it more difficult in any way, not having a professional studio or going to a place where that sort of thing is done on a regular basis?
Well, you know, with nowadays technology, you can really bring that type of caliber sound into a home studio with the right software, and that's what Mike has compiled, and he knows how to run it. So he's the expert, and we leave it all to him. So we really don't want a big studio. We'd rather have that homey feel.
Maybe someday, but yeah. Right now this definitely serves its purpose, and he's bringing such great material, so now we haven't really found a need to, you know, put out the big bucks and go crazy.
When will we be seeing the album?
Originally, we were going to release it in November, but especially after going down to Nashville and seeing some other talent down there, we kind of took a step back and we wanted to rework some of the songs and really tweak them to make them good. So we're still kind of finishing up, and we're hoping to maybe have it finished by month end and maybe do a release or something in February or March. So that's the goal. So we'll see what happens.
We'll look forward to that. Let's go back to the music now. And Dean, you can tell us the story behind I Will Understand.
Yeah, well, it's almost a similar story as to what Colleen was saying. It was about me at that time trying to make a commitment maybe to a certain girl and didn't want to push her away. So it was basically written in that aspect, because if you push too hard, you know you get pushed back. So.
That sounds pretty country to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Let's take a listen to some of I Will Understand. Right, there we are. Father-daughter team, Duhart, Dean and Colleen Duhart. Who was your inspiration for all of this, Dean?
Probably groups like the Beatles, the Eagles, Jackson Brown, James Taylor. and that's the music that she grew up on. So that's kind of what we're doing now.
How, if I can use this word, and correct me if it's the wrong way, how frustrating is it for you to have had this music in your life all of your life and never having quite gotten to the point where it becomes your entire life?
Good question. It is frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm kind of living my life again through Colleen because she's going through kind of the same hopes and dreams that I had back when I was in my 20s. And I think she's a little farther along than I was back then. So she can carry on maybe the tradition, maybe make it to a higher place than I ever got to.
Well, Colleen, that's a lot of responsibility, not only for yourself, but you got to take Dad along with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel that kind of responsibility?
It's funny because I'm an only child also. Even if they didn't put that pressure on me, my mommy and my dad, even if they didn't put any pressures on me, I think I would feel that myself. But it would still, regardless of where I end up, it'd still be my choice to have him along. So.
You know, I've read some of the material that you've put online in your blog. Very, very interesting.
I love writing. So.
You're apparently going through a time right now that maybe is difficult for you.
Yeah, your 20s are hard. You look back and, I mean, whenever you're in that time, you know, if you're in grade school, people are mean and that's the hardest time. Or if you're in high school, you know, that's a hard coming of age time. But I think your 20s are your hardest. You have the most pressure. You still want to be young and fun, but now you're on your own and you have bills to pay and feeling all that.
You and I have to have a talk. If you think the 20s are tough.
I know.
Just you wait.
We'll see what happens.
Now, where is Mom in all of this? I meant to ask that earlier, but she is conspicuous by her absence.
She is actually, she was a big part of music growing up as well because she has a beautiful voice. Mm. She's just a little bit shyer. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I grew up with her and my dad singing. So, she is and always will be, I think, my biggest fan, and she comes to as many gigs as she can, and she's a huge support system for us.
Yeah.
Well, what's the biggest gig that you've had so far? Has it been Nashville?
I would say so. Or
the Chattanooga gig.
Yeah,
probably.
Chattanooga, mm-hmm. A Tennessee gig, yeah.
And what about looking ahead? Again, I've looked at that list. Is there something that stands out, something you're really looking forward to being a big chance for you?
We were asked back to play in Chattanooga. We are fortunate. Mike has some good connections down there with his wife's family. So they actually asked us back to play at a festival on their lake that they live in for 4th of July, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's yeah. Obviously a big weekend.
Yeah.
And so what is the hope that when you perform at a place like this that there will be an agent there or someone, a record or a CD producer, somebody who will discover you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what everybody's hope is in this. But I think the takeaway is each time, even just seeing somebody smile or tap along or you know, come up afterwards and say some kind words, that's still just as fulfilling right now. So
it's a tough racket, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Really? Yeah. And you've learned that, Dean, over the years very, very well.
Yep. There's no in between. You're either a broke musician or a wealthy musician.
and how much could the album help? I mean, obviously it's a big deal, but it's got to be distributed. It's got to get in the right hands. And it's got to be played.
I think it will help a great deal because we're hoping to have it on, you know, maybe I don't know if we'll do the iTunes thing, but on SoundCloud and you know CD Baby and things like that, hopefully reach some more audiences that aren't just friends and family and people we've met at our local.
Online games. Streaming is a possibility,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's where the music business is going these days.
Definitely.
Your next performance, we'll put it all online. But what's your next performance?
I think it's next Saturday.
Yeah, you should have your calendar.
It is.
What have I taught you?
Next Saturday, we're at Seven Stones Wine Garden out in New Melle from 6 to 9.
Okay, very good. We'll put that on our website.
Thank
Colleen
you.
And Dean Duhart, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
With us. Love listening to your music. Best of luck to you.
Thank
Hope you have
very
great
much.
Success. A lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Lewis Reed, president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen, about issues and concerns facing St. Louis in this new year. Then we'll take a look at the Fergusson Media Project, which focuses on blackness and Judaism in the Ferguson movement. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.